Get our five on, as the kids say.
It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
All right. You know what that means.
We do. It's time for a giveaway.
$50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet. Caller number 19 at 312-981-7200. Rips us off. 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. Builder Supply Outlet, by the way. Trail at prices every day. Just in. New, beautiful mahogany and alderwood entry doors.
Not bad.
All right. Checking in at
number 5.
Mayor Emanuel delivered a letter signed by 14 mayors to President-elect Donald Trump today, asking him to renew deferred action for so-called Dreamers, the roughly 1.5 million undocumented immigrants who were brought to the country as little kids by their parents. Mm-hmm. So that the mayor, Rambo, went to the Trump Tower. And he went in through a secret way to get in, but then he came out through the normal gold elevators.
With all the TV cameras lined up.
Yeah. It's really, it is like going to the Willy Wonka factory when you go there. And Ivanka takes you on that like chocolate river.
I can only imagine what it looks like in there.
Yeah. It's really
But theirs is vanilla.
Yeah. It's a little like Oz. It's a little, to me it's a more clear indication is that it's like going to Oz. You end up in a tin man walks you all the way through it.
The man behind the curtain.
Right. And that's what you get. Anyway, the whole idea is that he sent the letter, and he also told Trump that Chicago was going to stay a sanctuary city, pal.
I also spoke out strongly about what it means to be a sanctuary city where we support and secure the people that are here, like my grandfather who came to the city of Chicago as a 13-year-old 100 years ago. Chicago was a sanctuary city for my grandfather. His grandson today is the mayor of this city, which is a testament to the strength of the values and the ideals of being America.
Said the meeting went very well. It would just, you would think there's been a lot of bad blood between the two of these men, powerful men, but went well.
Can I say, though, I guess, you know, from a dreamer perspective, is he saying that his great-grandparents snuck into this country? Is that what he's saying?
It seems he's trying to compare the plight of, you know, children who were brought here through no fault of their own from Mexico, but have grown up here or other places and have grown up here and know no other country and, you know, are firmly established here. That's what it seems like he's saying. But All we know is his grandfather came at the age of 13 and made a life for himself.
Or did
here.
He come by himself at 13?
100 years ago.
When that kind of thing happened more.
Listen,
how old is
the Cubs
country?
Had still not won the World Series for 8 years at that point. And there are only like four teams in baseball. So it's it wasn't that long ago. 100 years ago. Yeah, 1960. What could possibly go right in 1916?
Well, I think that was more common then, wasn't it? That young men would come over from
There was a war
Europe
raging
and
in Europe.
Villages all across Europe and try to set off to make a life for themselves.
Yes, and they were sending them and they were getting on the... And then they come and they see the Statue of Liberty and they're underneath it. I've seen all those movies.
You have.
Yeah, they're all in New York, right?
My parents lived it.
Yeah. When little Vito Andolini arrives, they put him at Ellis Island, think he's going to die of consumption. And yet he's okay. Seen it all.
Well, we'll see what happens with that.
All right. All right. Checking in at
number 4.
Donald Trump is the Time Person of the Year.
You see this as a compliment, not some kind of condemnation.
Well, as an example, when you say divided states of America, I didn't divide them. They're divided now. I mean, there's a lot of division, and we're going to put it back together, and we're going to have a country that's very well healed, and we're going to be a great economic force, and we're going to build up our military and safety, and we're going to do a lot of great things, and it's going to be something very special. But to be on the cover of Time magazine as the person of the year is a tremendous honor.
You know, I'm going to go with him on that. I'm going to say that that's true. He did not divide the country. He certainly played on the divisions that already exist in the country to be able to build a base. There's no question about that. But this country was already fairly divided going into it. Mm-hmm. And that is basically the point of this, which is, you know, the Time Man of the Year, or Person of the Year, does not necessarily mean that there's any, you know, they're not always to good guys or bad guys. They're actually, the Time Magazine's been very, very careful about defining that as somebody who's had just massive impact.
Right. Either negatively or positively in the past. And
right.
So it's not controversial. He certainly is someone you would see was at the top of the list for this kind of for the time to choose. It's Hillary Clinton came in second, by the way.
Yeah. But Donald Trump, a couple of weeks ago at another job that I have, we were talking backstage about the idea of who's going to be the, because we're getting ready to do a segment about the Time mm-hmm. Person of the Year, and who's going to be the, people were predicting who it would be. And I go, there's no question it's going to be Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's not true. He had already won the election, but people got mad at me for saying that.
Some said it should have been Julian Assange, if you're of that persuasion. Others, Monica Lewinsky came out today and said it should be all the internet trolls who control, you know, thought on social media. And, you know, there are a lot of ways you could go with it, but I don't think you could argue with him having an impact
on this country.
On
the world.
On the world.
I mean, the entire world got involved in the American election this year, including apparently Russia. Very interested, maybe pressed a few buttons along the way. And, I mean, this changes everything forever, what happened here. And maybe it is for the better. We all hope and pray it is for the better.
We do. But yeah. I like how he says it's a tremendous honor until Time does a really bad cover about him, like in, you know, 2 months from now. And then he's a terrible magazine. No one reads it.
This is great for Twitter, which is, remember Twitter was having trouble like last year? They're like, I don't know what we're going to do.
They weren't seeing the growth that other social media platforms were.
Yeah. He's the best thing ever happened to Twitter.
Yes, he is.
All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, feel out of Powder Medics at the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
We're going sportsy for
number three
in the top five. New York Jets head coach Todd Bowles. Well, kind of gotten his keister handed to him in the press. Big loss, 41-10 Monday night against the Colts, who are not particularly good either, right? Two sub-500 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like the way that when the Bears play.
Right. Colts did get Andrew Luck back that day, but
that is
still
true.
Still not a dominant team by any means.
Not yet. Nope. Now, they had a 10-6 record when Todd Bowles got there. There's a lot of hope for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then the coach was critical of this team's effort in the postgame news conference. And, that's a criticism that our friend Stephen A. Smith believes could get Bowles fired. Smith believes that African-American coaches don't receive the latitude and leeway when their teams are criticized for lack of effort.
What the owners don't say quietly, but all the African-American coaches fully understand this, is that when it comes to young men of sport like basketball, a sport like football, where you have predominantly African-Americans playing the sport, when you don't perform, that's one thing. But when your effort is questioned, it's a direct assault on the coach, because they look at that coach and they say, you can't control these dudes. They can't even go out there and fight for you. What I need you for?
Thank you, Stephen A. Smith.
Wait, there's more.
You can question efficiency. You can question game planning and schemes and all of this other stuff. But when you are a black coach and the effort of the players are being questioned, it is the ultimate death knell. And those players know it. And to go out there and perform like that is just so shameful. I can't even say anything else.
Oh, he went low there.
I was going to say, very subdued for Stephen A. Smith. I'm not
tamed.
Used to
that. He must have finally have gotten the curly fries relaxing.
Oh, right. Right. The drive-thru went well. Yeah. You just know he emerged
finally
from that with
that.
What he needed.
I need curly fries. I have parked here ahead of the window waiting for somebody to come out with my curly fries for 2.5 weeks.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
It's unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. This is not performance? The manager of this particular curly fry fast food restaurant? Since I am on ESPN, I cannot say the name of the restaurant. Arby's has not come out to deliver my curly fries. What is he doing with his staff?
Maybe he's voting.
Voting? Like Colin Kaepernick did not do?
I don't believe he voted, Stephen.
How does Colin Kaepernick have the right to speak on any sort of politics when he won't even take his whatever he is but to the voting place? I don't even want to say it because I will be seeing this self-hating.
Okay.
Thank you, Stephen A.
You're welcome, Stephen A.
It's good to see Stephen. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
Still waiting in the line with his flashers on.
Maybe it's the attitude, you know, thing. No, maybe they don't want to serve him.
Where they
know.
Pull, you pull up and then you put your flashers on.
Yeah, that's the worst.
My battery is dying here with my flashers on for 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, you hate when you know, I gotta spaces.
I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
He's right. What about, he said, not about the curly fries, because I had driven off by now, but about what he said, I think that's true. I saw that happen with Lovie Smith here in Chicago. There is a different attitude about black coaches, and if they are not seen as guys like, you know, you have to have like Tony Dungy, right? When he was running when they're successful, people are like, oh my God, the man's a genius. He has overcome his circumstances. But when they are not successful, they are seen as people who are just they're going easier on their own players.
Weren't the Bears 10-6 when Lovie Smith got fired?
Yes, yes,
that's
yes.
That kind of supports your argument.
Right, and under white guys, let's just face it, hasn't been good.
Mark Trestman coached for 2 years.
Right, Mark Trestman, who, I swear to God, I was like, oh my God, that's my gastroenterologist.
I thought he was an accountant. He's very soft-spoken.
I mean, like he walked out, I'm like, I remember that guy right before I went under.
Should have been fired after 8 games.
I mean, it's like it's controversial, and I'm not like I'm not that race based about a lot of my thoughts, but I do think when it comes to athletics and sports, you get a lot of that. I see a lot of that, and players and Steven's right, players do know that. Because they get, you know, there's this whole thing. Well, you know, if a player is not performing well.
Mm-hmm.
It's, if a black player is not performing well, it is often said of him that he's lazy. If a white player is not performing well, it's often said, well, he just doesn't have the talent. And then there's Jay Cutler, who's both.
Lazy and talentless, is you're going to go with?
So funny you should mention Jay Cutler. Because he does, in fact, embody both of those problems. Jay Cutler must be the manager of this Arby's.
Yeah. Not performing well in the Arby's drive-thru
right.
Either.
Right. Right. I know. I'd imagine the curly fries are very cold. Yeah.
Right. They're not using the PEDs there.
All right. Okay. And checking in at
number two.
Vice President Joe Biden was on The Late Show last night and started things off by joining Stephen Colbert to give a family pep talk and comfort America over anxiety.
We've been worried about all these sudden changes. We know that you're worried about the changes the family's going through.
It happens to every family, but I'm telling you, this terrible feeling you're having right now, it's not permanent. It'll be over in 4 years, maybe 8, there's an old saying in the family. It's like a grandfather clock.
Exactly. Life is like a grandfather clock. Maybe the pendulum has swung all the way to one side, but before you know it, it'll swing back to the other.
Point is, you should probably get a newer clock. Or better yet, just look at your phone.
Right, yeah. Time's right on there.
What about running for president in 4 years?
I know I made the right decision for my family. I know I made the right decision. I'm not sure I would have been able to put my whole heart into it. But what I regret is the circumstance that led me not to be able to run. Do I think that I... That's a terrible thing to say in many people's minds, but... Do I think I was best prepared at this moment to lead the country? I did. I mean, because I thought the issues that were of greatest concern were in my wheelhouse, things I've dealt with my whole career. So in that sense, I'm disappointed that I'm not going to be in a position to be making some of those decisions. But I don't regret the actual decision. The decision was the right decision for me to have made.
Okay.
But he's running in 2020, and he'll be 77 years old.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
FYI.
Not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm a predictor here.
You're the mentalist right now?
I'm the mentalist, and he was not going to run.
I can't imagine.
He's not going to run. But I don't think Donald Trump is going to run in 4 years.
But Kanye will.
I think Kanye will say he will, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think his hospital stay may have pushed him off the
he's going
top
to,
five list.
Going the sympathy route, yeah. Kanye.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. Oh, boy, wait till you hear this. Finally.
Number one.
This is one thing I hope that Donald Trump gets done as president, which is up on Capitol Hill today in the Senate, there was a taste-off between queso from Texas and cheese dip from Arkansas. So, like, melty cheese?
Oh, yeah. Queso wins, hands down.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you something.
What?
That's got to end, that kind of thing. I don't want my senators doing that. I want my senators actually doing something important. But
pause to be human every once in a while.
But guess who came out of this to talk about it?
No idea.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
It just tastes good. It speaks to the soul. Good queso relaxes you. Look, if cheese dip can be served on a Ritz cracker or with one of those tiny Vienna sausages, queso is made to be scooped up with tortilla chips, dribbling down your chin and onto your shirt. One is a visceral, emotional, powerful family bond as you and your kids pour into nachos covered in queso. The other is party favors at an afternoon tea.
He just ruined it.
At an afternoon tea.
As if we need one more thing to divide this country. A cheese debate.
Well, dribbling down your chin onto your shirt. I mean,
I don't
like
the way he described
it's like, look,
queso.
Man, we all like cheese. All varieties of cheese.
Take it's dribbling down
most
your chin.
He ruined it.
And then he's like, you can bond with your kids. What is he talking about?
Slowly dribbling down your chin. Past your chin down almost to your neck till it falls on your shirt.
Ew.
Classic politicizing cheese.
And then he's like, the little Vienna hot dogs.
Dribbling down your chin.
Dribbling down your chin. And a little Vienna hot dog exploding in your mouth.
Just say philanderer once for me.
Philanderer.
Okay, that does it every time.
Wait, the sausage explodes in your mouth? Is that what you said?
Sausage explodes as you bite into the casing, the skin of it. And that dribbles out your mouth and down your chin onto your shirt.
Oh, the queso industry's going to sue him for, like, ruining it for everybody.
Velveeta's coming after him.
Seriously, lawsuit filed.
I think the mini hot dog should go after him.
I honestly just had it yesterday. I don't think I can eat it this week now. I have to take a break.
And then it slides down your throat, slowly and hot. Almost burning, but it feels so good.
Oh, yuck.
It almost makes me want to smoke again.
My stomach muscles hurt from laughing.
All right. Let us, let's be done with this, shall we?
No.
Don't even try that again, Orion. I know what you're doing.
Give us one more chance.
The top five at five.